Good afternoon. You're listening to the Mother's Justice Show on 1150 AM KKNW. I'm your host, Reverend Walden. It's my joy to be on the air. I want to thank all of our supporters who support Mothers for Police Accountability, the Virtues Healing Circle, and everyone else who's kept us on the air for 7 years now. So we're so grateful. And I just will just jump right on in and get started here on this last week of summer. In the last week of summer, y'all better hurry up. No more bikinis soon. So you better wear them now because next week it might be cold. All right, Mr. Rye is going to come and give us an update. And then after that, we're going to have Ms. Frances Oliver from Sanford, Florida. She's going to be talking about the governor and all the things that's going in Florida. So on in Florida. So hello, Mr. Rye.
Hello there, Reverend Myriad. How you doing?
Oh, I'm good today. I'm good. I love fall and it's in the air. So I'm feeling good today. I love this weather that's coming. Although it's going to bring the rains, but how are you doing?
A little tired, but I feel pretty good with what's transpired the last few days.
Update us. What's up?
Well, you know, in November 22nd, Bob Armstead filed a complaint on behalf of 21 African-American organizations and individuals alleging discrimination, and it was based on 9 disparity studies and 2 private studies, all indicating the same thing, that African descendants of the United States enslaved, the black folks who've been here 400 years, are being discriminated against by everybody, including where there's federal funds. And like I said, Bob Armstead is the interim president of the Washington chapter of National Association of Minority Contractors. And I was one of the 3 co-founders. I went back on the board because of some disparaging remarks were made about the organization. And a lot of people who were involved did not realize that NAMC up here came about just like the Panthers started in Oakland in 68. Well, NAMC started in Oakland in 69. And it was brought to Seattle to the Central Contractors Association by Joe Debrow, who was one of the founders of MANC. And he and Willie Allen, the late Willie Allen, former president of the Central Contractors Association, CCA, also owned the building on 21st and Union. And JDA Consulting Group was Joe Debrow and Allen. So some other folks are making some rather disparaging remarks about the organization, but NAMC is a historical black organization. And what happened is that when Ron Dellums got elected in the early 70s, he said this is such a good idea. He took it national, so it became a national organization. But I was letting a lot of people know I was very disappointed with some members of the communities of color, especially one elected official who made these remarks and tried to destroy a historical black organization. Just because you're not an African descendant of the United States enslaved, not black, you still should respect institutions that help you get on your feet. And through the struggles of black folks in the civil rights movement, helped a lot of people get on their feet, and they don't want to acknowledge it. But I tell you right now, when it comes down to it, they can imitate being a white supremacist all they want to. But Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio and Stephen Miller, the bigot in Trump's administration, will never be invited to Charlottesville because they want, they're not white, okay? And they need to understand that. That's why it's near and dear to my heart. I went to the national board meeting. President Armstead had surgery, could not attend. I did attend. And as a result of that, we got a lot of momentum going right now with members of the caucus who are looking at this discrimination complaint that was filed November 22nd, 2021, with the Department of U.S. Department of Justice, the Civil Rights Office, Kristen Clark. And the complaint, after a few months, was sent over to the Department of Transportation. And there is an interview that was done yesterday on Thursday. It's up on podcast and Alexa right now with the national president of the NAMC, Wendell Stimley, and the Washington chapter president, Bob Armstead, and Congresswoman Marilyn Strickland from Tacoma, our first member of the Congressional Black Caucus in the history, because Washington State has never elected a black to congressional office.
Right.
But she's also on the House Infrastructure and the Transportation Infrastructure Committee. So all the money coming down through there will have to come through, and her committee's going to have some oversight responsibilities. So when she heard Wendell Stimley say after $1.5 billion was spent a black-owned female company received $45,000.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know if that's true or not, but I tell you one thing. I don't see two or three blacks in construction working on the same job. So we still have a lot of work to do.
Right.
Like I said, people, well, you know, if you just leave a black boy, it is. We have got to participate based on the dues we paid in this country.
African
descendants of the United States enslaved, we're the reason why America's an economic power right now. 250.
And we're the reason why everybody else can come.
Exactly. Because in the Civil Rights Movement, there wasn't no Rainbow Coalition of the Civil Rights Movement.
No, it was not a Rainbow Coalition. Some people want to pretend like it was, but it was not.
And I'm from Louisiana, and if you were not black, you rode in the white section of the bus, okay? You didn't have to go. You went to the white restroom. You drank out the white fountain. So, you know, we just have to get the record straight for what it is. And it's really amazing to have some of these folks whose families just got here making these remarks about black folks. It's unbelievable, but we're going to get our respect, and we're going to participate in this economic fight. That's why I'm still pushing members of the Congressional Black Caucus to have a federal designation for African descendants of United States enslaved, so we can have a department in every federal agency looking after our needs with a budget, looking after our needs while we discuss reparations. Okay.
Well, and that's so necessary now, because look what's happening to the farmers. The black farmers are not, they filed, the other farmers filed a grievance or something, so the money that was supposed to go to the black farmers is not going there. That's why the black caucus need to move on this if they really believe they got power, because we're being denied all the way around. And with that designation, designator you're talking about, the black farmers, who most of them have lost so much of their land in the last 50 years, they could have some kind of compensation. And I don't know why they won't use the power that they have. I hope they will. Yeah.
Well, I'm definitely going to encourage them. Senator Patty Murray and Congressman Adam Smith did write a letter after his office, his attorneys reviewed the complaint, encouraging the Office of Civil Rights and the Department of Justice to pursue this investigation of discrimination against African Americans in Washington State. So, you know, some numbers go up kind of high because they well, if they're from Nigeria or Eritrean or Ethiopian, they get counted as black. But I'm just saying.
No, they don't. I mean, that's not true.
Sisters, but they're not African Americans. They're not Africans of.
They're not the descendants of the original. They're not the descendants of people who came. And that, exactly. And that's what this is about. Because the immigrants that come from the continent, they got two boxes. They can be an immigrant and they can be an African American. Okay, well, we only have the one box.
The other thing we got to look at too is because you're all minorities, don't mean you have equal access to capital. Nigeria has an airline. They have treasure. They have billionaires in those countries. I mean, how are you going to say that somebody that lost affirmative action for the last 23 years will have the same opportunity as someone who comes from a country with all the money in the world? And don't you think for 1 minute offshore money is not coming in to help other people who just got here? I mean, you know, I have nothing against them, but I'm just saying we will talk about fairness. It's like putting white women companies in with all the minorities, and you don't go get all the money. White women own companies with all white men running the companies and doing all the work.
That was really one of the biggest shams that was ever pushed on the civil rights movement, as we would call it, and then as affirmative action. I mean, clearly it was thought of for us, and then in order to weaken it, they brought on the other women, brought on the other group of women who absolutely was free by the category of their race, and they were able to get the jobs that black people didn't get. Because the way the decision, so we've been gamed at every level, and so it's time for people to realize what has happened to us.
And the thing about it is, we've had agencies that have oversight over federal funds have not done anything except for make sure things are smoothed over. Like, I will not forget four black contractors went broke on the Seattle Tunnel Partners project, and when they first got here, then city council member Mike O'Brien said, I'm concerned about this company's past. They have destroyed minority businesses. They've sued townships and stuff. And the person from WSDOT said, oh, we're not going to let a few complaints by minority contractors stop this multi-billion-dollar project. Well, then, for a rude awakening, because when Bertha went broke, they thought the insurance company was going to pay for the loss of time. The insurance company's not paying for that. But we have some serious problems because, like I said, if you know, we live in a state where the Democrats are in charge.
And so, well, but the Democrats have not been our friends, okay? The Democrats was in charge when they ran us out of business, okay? I mean, really, into when they ran ran eye care service.
A Democratic governor signed a governor's directive in December of 1998 that killed affirmative action for 23 years.
That's right.
And as far as I'm concerned, it's still dead. And a lot of black-owned, family-owned businesses did not pass the business along to the son or daughter because our families were not there to do that. And there's no understanding.
And there was no conversation for people like myself and Mr. Branch and all these adult family homes that went out because people just didn't like the politics or Mr. Branch had a payroll that was too big. Okay, I mean, and you know, and they used a brother law against him. Everybody else in some of these family home nursing homes, but they used a brother law against Mr. Branch. And, you know, $21 million, I mean, they said they had the payroll too big. And so happened. So, yeah.
There was one other one, too. And that was folks trying to get bonds, trying to get capitalization. And you just cut off at every angle. And that was one of the things I shared with some of the members of the caucus is that, you know, if you can't, people can have now prime contractors, for example, get mobilization money. But they're going to make the black company wait for 90 days to get paid. And then they got to find. So I'm just saying, anytime you see a project where four black contractors go under on the same project, and the thing about it, I'm beginning to wonder if they went into doing the time that Bertha was down, the big tunneling machine. That the insurance company told the state they're not going to pay for it. So,
but the other part about the tunnel is that, you know, our sister, our late sister, Verlene, did the study on it. And what happened on the tunnel is that they would put black people in the beginning, then other people that they bring up from California that was not black people, they would take those jobs. And all the black people that was down there on the tunnel, they got laid off. Because did a study on it, and there was a report on it, and nothing really happened on that. But that's really what happened on that piece. That's why black people didn't work on that project, see?
That's what the president of Wendell Sumner, the National Association of Minority Contractors, was also stating about how people will come into a Airbnb, a group of them, 6 to 8 people, to work on a project, and they're from another state.
Right.
Okay, so he said people need to check the driver's license, utility bills, approve ownership, and now this is another scam that's going on right now to deny us is what it's really aimed at.
Yeah, I mean, Washington State for black people doing business is the Mississippi of the West. We know what happened in Jackson. Because of racism, they would not fix anything around the water system. And they're still punishing black people in Mississippi for standing up for civil rights. So here it is later, after all the years that Mega Evans has been murdered and all the stuff, they're still punishing black people in Mississippi, and they don't have any clean water. So I call Washington State for doing business for black people like the Mississippi of the South. This is the Mississippi of the West.
If you look at the numbers, black businesses are doing a lot better in Mississippi than we are in Washington State.
In Jackson, I'm talking about Jackson, Mississippi right now, the water system.
I know Mayor Chakwe Lumumba. But the thing about it is that system has been antiquated and they refuse to upgrade it because of black folks. It's the same thing when we are in Flint, Michigan, any place where there's a majority of black folks, utilities, other things that I cared for. And you have Democrats in charge in Michigan, okay?
That's right. And that's why we have to call them out, though, really and truly, because really we understand. I mean, we have no public housing in America that was clean, and that was a Newt Gingrich. And you wonder why you have so many homeless people. They got rid of public housing, brought in mixed housing. Now people with means are living in the places like Holly Park and all those other places, while people are not allowed downtown, you know, camping in the parks. All of that happened.
Yeah, the two best all of that happened. Yeah, from the Yesville Terrace housing projects in High Point. Now, but the people used to live there can't afford to move there now.
They cannot because it was always a game. It was always a game. It was always a game for the land to go. The land that the taxpayers own and paid for in America went to developers, and poor people got kicked out. And that's why we have a homeless issue and nobody want to talk about it. Mr. Wise, always so good to have you on.
I want to say one thing. I heard the mayor of New York about the refugees that came to New York. We got to remember that we're all immigrants. No, we're not. Indians were already here. It was their land.
That's right.
And we're
not immigrants.
I'm not going to let you deny leaving.
That's right. We're not immigrants.
Immigrants and slaves and
right.
Indians were already
That's
here.
Right.
So I'm not
going
to let nobody get by.
That's right. Now we have to change the narrative all the time. That's right, Mr. White. Thank you so much.
Immigrants and slaves that built this joint for free.
That's right. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Mr. White. You always come with that lightning quick of all the things that we should be working on and know about. Thank you so much. Have a good week. I look forward to for next week, and I look forward to a fall, and I'll be talking to you soon. I want to thank you for coming on.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Thank you. You listen to the Mother's Justice Show on 1150 AM KKNW. I'm your host, Rem Walden. We'll be right back with Ms. Frances Oliver.
The Mother's Justice Show is brought to you by H.G. Walden and the Virtues Healing Circles. Join us for Wisdom and Wellness with Reverend Walden, a monthly virtual and in-person healing circle that focuses on community healing and growth. Learn more at virtueshealing.com. That's virtueshealing.com. Also, be sure to join our healing group on Facebook. Again, visit us at virtueshealing.com today.
You pledged your life to serve, to make our country stronger, safer, more free, more equal. You worked tirelessly, made sacrifices, missed first steps and birthdays, lost loved ones. At VA, we don't see the setbacks endured. We see lessons applied and passion driving you upward and forward. We don't see all the masks you wear, but we hope you can set some aside. We embrace your uniqueness and won't trivialize your past, your fears, or your hardships. We can't promise to heal all wounds or wash away all trauma, but we do see hope, a path forward, a future. We see all veterans. We see you. An opportunity to help you achieve a new mission, whatever that may be. Learn how treatment works and recovery is possible. Visit MakeTheConnection.net.
Hi, this is Dr. K. Mahina Intron, inviting you to tune in on Mondays on 1150 KKNW at 5 p.m. to Dr. K's Attuning to Your Abundance, where we honor everyday abundance through positive messages, poetry, music, affirmations, and writing exercises. For more information, contact drkworkshops@gmail.com or Facebook Dr. K's Abundance.
No other station delivers this much variety. Alternative Talk 1150.
Good afternoon. You're listening to the Mother's Justice Show on 1150 AM KKNW. I'm your host, Reverend Walden, and I'm absolutely glad that Eric played that song because I want to bring my next guest on, and her name is Ms. Frances Oliver. She is a phenomenal woman out of Sanford, Florida, Coombs Academy, and she's coming on with an update. So welcome, Frances.
Thank you, Harriet.
Yeah, you are a phenomenal woman. You know, you've been doing this work now you joined the NAACP. So when you were 18 years old and lifetime member and just doing all this work down in Central Florida, you know, for liberation of our people. So I'm glad that you could make time, although you're at the golf course down in Florida. You're not golfing, though. You're down there with your granddaughter. So, you know, one thing about grandmother.
And we're trying to get into the clubhouse and it's pouring down rain.
Well, at least the grass will get watered and the flowers will get watered then. That's good.
That's true.
You don't have a drought going on. California got the drought. So,
and what we do for our grandchildren.
Now, that's right. It's a pleasure being a grandparent, though, on a lot of ways. You get to see them grow up and you don't have to be involved every day. But when you are involved, then it's a blessing. So I'm glad that you've been able to do that. But we talked yesterday because Florida, true transparency. I always tell people, I know Frances, we grew up together. And I don't, I didn't say, I'm glad that we grew up together. But also, Florida now is just like it was then. So we know the then Florida.
And now like, the people, it seems like we're just going backwards.
But yeah, we're going back to what was, because Florida. When you read The Devil in the Grove about Thurgood Marshall and the four young men that was charged for rape there. Groveland, Florida. We read that book more than once, and we did it, and I just finished it up last quarter in our Marcus Garvey reading book club, and you know, it had Dr. Starks in there, Sanford was in the book, and the brutality of the sheriff down there. I mean, so what we see in Florida now is absolutely a resurgence of what we grew up with. Is that correct?
That's exactly right, Harriet.
And all the people who came to Florida, no matter for what reason, or all the people who have moved away from the idea of continuing to work for freedom and maybe believe that they had already reached the promised land, will absolutely have a rude awakening in Florida.
Exactly. You're right.
Yeah. And so, you know, I asked you to come on to talk about what's happening there, especially with, I mean, I know you're not claiming him as your governor, but as the governor then Florida down there, and that stuff that the governor is doing.
And what we can't understand, his family migrated here.
Well, once they get here and they're light, they get to check the white box, even though they might be Latino.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Because if they were dark Mexicans or dogs, they could not check the Latino box. So a lot of people, when they come to America, even though they might come from call themselves Latinos, Latinos really don't have a real classification. I mean, it's sort of like a word that came up maybe about 50 years ago or 40 years ago for classification. You know, because when we were going to school, Puerto Ricans, when they came to Florida, they went to school with us because they were considered Negroes. You know, yeah. Classification. So anyway, so what did the governor do that's so outlandish?
Well, we try.
I mean, he's done many things that's outlandish.
This man changed like the wind. He tell one story one day, another lie the next day, and another lie the next day. Now, from what I can understand, he took a busload of immigrants from Texas, brought them to Florida, and then sent them to Martha Vineyard.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, well, you know what I mean, Doug? Like you just said about people's heart conditions, although he came from another country and became an American citizen, and we don't know if his parents was American citizens. We don't know that piece. I mean, who knows about that piece? But evidently, he had to become an American citizen.
And he told the people that, they told the people, Abbott, you know Abbott, the governor of Texas, he and DeSantis, I guess, working together. And they told them that they were going to New York to get work and to get a job and to get their paperwork squared away, and they would have housing to live in. But instead of going to New York, they dropped them off at Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts.
But that sounds like kidnapping.
Many, many hours, no food, no water, no nothing. And they were dropped off with nothing.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Well, gee whiz. But these are the Christian rights, right? These are people who say they're Christians?
He's a Christian governor.
Yeah.
Yeah, he sure is. A Christian governor.
These
people are golf course under these trees, and it's lightning. They don't need to be under these trees.
Well, I hope you can stay on the phone. I hope you can continue to be on the phone for us for our interview.
I can be on the phone.
Okay.
We're in a golf
well, listen.
Cart. Don't you hear the rain on our golf cart? We're on a golf cart.
No, I didn't hear that, but that's okay. That's okay. But I just wanted to continue to talk about the governor because really he has a lot of things that he has so-called going for him. And I think it's so bad until somebody else.
He's taking this critical race theory to the max. He has taken it as far as he can take it. He has taken this gender thing with children in school and just plain lying about it, you know? Kindergarten parents are not, they may be doing it somewhere, but not, I don't think they're doing it in Florida, changing the sex of their children, changing the gender of their children.
Well, but also the critical race theory, I mean, he's an example of critical race theory and why it needs to be taught. He's a living example of it. I mean, he called himself a Christian. You know, the Southern Baptists supported slavery. They just came out in the 1990s and gave an apologies, but they still are racist. And so so it's the same kind of behavior if he's called himself a Christian and doing all of this.
And
so he's living.
I'm going to tell you, Harry, it's all about the Democrats are gaining a little momentum with the abortion thing. So they had to come up with something. And that's the meanest, cruelest thing that they could have come up with.
Well, actually, the GOP for the last 40 years has been a party of hot button issues, not bread and butter. I mean, it was the hot button issues. It was against gay people. It was against this. It was against that. But it was never about jobs, education, and housing. And these are the things that really make America. I mean, all these other issues has nothing to do with you having a job, have nothing to do with you putting bread on the table. And has nothing to do with you educating your children. And so this is how
they can't eat. The rent has gone up. Rent has doubled and tripled in Florida. House mortgages gone up. The percentage you have to pay for a house mortgage has gone up. Everything has gone up.
Well, that's the way it is here too. I mean, in Seattle. I mean, really, I don't know what's going to happen. Because the percentage of, this is a developer's heaven right now. If you're a builder or a developer or you know, this is your heaven right now. I mean, but what we don't know how they're going to be crying later on. I mean, because this is their heaven right now. And and part of that piece is that, you know, they're going to get the highest amount. But Americans have always paid for property. It's always been overvalued. I mean, really and truly, they raise it. They pay all this money for housing. I mean, and they just don't understand that they're absolutely being robbed.
Exactly.
And that's how it is in a real estate market. And the developers and, you know, I guess it's a buyer's market and that kind of stuff. And then, you know, on my last guest, I mentioned the fact that under Clinton, you know, they got rid of, you know, they brought in Hope Six. And Hope Six is the reason why so many homeless people around America is because what happened is that a lot of the land that was used for public housing is now gone to the developers. And on that property,
exactly what's happening in Sanford. And we never got our Hope Six money, and they closed down six housing projects, and the land is just sitting there.
Well, but it's a game. I mean, really and truly, it's a game to take back the land, and American taxpayers paid for housing, paid for all of this land here. I mean, because it went for, you know, Department of HUD and all this other stuff. And then, Clinton with Newt Gingrich, when they got rid of all of this stuff and came back. And so the result across America is that now a lot of the public housing, when they put housing back, it's mixed use housing and poor people can't get in there. See,
nope,
I mean, and
exactly
so,
right.
so it's a game against poor people and the people who actually built everything, and they were on the outside. And in Seattle, a lot of people who just came to America and was able to get jobs and stuff, and, you know, get better jobs, they're living in those places. And then, you know, a lot of people who are homeless in America are the descendants of our descendants of enslaved human beings, and also a lot of Native American people. You know, a lot of the Native people are homeless in America. And then you have other people that's homeless in America.
And Harry, you know what they're doing here? The developers, they get this money from the government, and they're supposed to put down low-income houses or either low-income rentals, like apartments. But here's what they'll do. They will, the rent may be $600 a month, but they charge you for the washing machine, the dishwasher, the hot water heater, everything in the house. By the time you get through paying for everything in the house per month, you up to $1,200.
That's a scam. But again, the cities go along with that. Here, some of the developers are putting so many units in there, and they're at a less amount of rate. And then we have a building called the Liberty Bank Apartment Buildings. It's going to be owned by Africatown. And what they're doing is bringing back housing for Seattle, bringing back housing for people who've been gentrified out. And then it's another apartment building going up. But again, you know, it's like when you go back and you remember, you go back to Wall Street, you go back to what happened to Goldsboro. I mean, it's like there's a whole idea about making sure that Black people don't have land in America. Now they got to take them, you know. It really is, because if you look at Native Americans, then they owned the whole continent when they came here, and now what they have is small patches of land in America. That's right. I mean, when you look at that, and so the two groups of people who deserve land and deserve to have a place to stay and part of the American history, it's like the plan is to make sure that we're homeless in America when everybody else could come and eventually have a home but us.
Exactly.
And this is psychological warfare for our defenses. That's why I say all the time, this is psychological warfare. It's been going on for 159 years, ever since Lincoln signed the paper. The war against us have not started, have not stopped ever.
Uh-uh. You're right.
And our sophisticated brothers and sisters don't understand that it doesn't matter who's in the White House, the war against us continues, see. And that's why I keep telling young people, you need to understand that there's a war going on. And you need to understand it's psychological. Because if you put in Black men in Google, it comes up as thugs. So how in the last 40 years can we just be the thugs of America, of the world? I mean, so all of this is programming. And so it's constantly programming. And so many of our people have believed the program, or they don't believe it's no opportunity. And we know that opportunity and stuff like that comes from the creator. So so we had, you know, and the other thing that we talked about also was yesterday that a lot of the people, or a lot of folks are not voting. I mean, for some
they're
reason, they
voting,
don't think
Harry,
they vote going to count.
Black people, they're not voting.
Right.
I don't know what they're doing in Seattle, Washington, but in Florida, they're not voting.
Well, they're voting here. I mean, a lot of them didn't vote, but there's quite a few people that are voting. And again, it's like 101 of freedom is that people died so you can vote.
Uh-huh.
And no matter what they say, and no matter how much disinformation is out there, it is your responsibility to vote for your ancestors. If you don't vote for no other reason, you vote for that person who came before you, suffered degradation, and never voted. Dosha never voted. So I vote every year for my ancestors, and I taught my children to always vote. You're voting for the people who came before you. They didn't see a better day. And we can complain
right.
and all of that, but what we do have is better than what they had. You know?
That's right.
You know, and that's why I continue to do voters education. I mean, even though I'm not a registered person to do it, I just continue to want people to connect the dots. And that's what you do. And that's why I wanted that song on about you, Francis, because you are a phenomenal woman. I mean, what you've done there in Goldsboro, I mean, with the museum, and then there's the Trayvon Martin Museum there. I mean, a memorial there. I mean, you have just been, I mean, and you know what, Francis, being a phenomenal woman, you know what other people can always say, oh, I'm so glad you're doing this, but they don't want to come and help.
That's right.
Do you get people saying, oh, I'm so glad you're doing this? I said, well, it'd be easier if you come
and
help.
That's right.
See, you know, it would be, you know, with many hands make the work go smoother.
You know,
and
It's just that it seems like the people, the young people, don't believe us.
No, they don't.
They believe everything the white man tell them.
Well, that's right, because mine have been assimilated, and I was determined. You know, I mean, one thing we have to do is we have to be determined to make sure, and you know this because you know your young. I mean, I see Natalie and the work she's doing. I mean, you have to be determined to let them know their subconscious mind has to be filled up with blackness. They have to know who they are. They have to know their history, and they have to have it all the time, because when they go out to the schools, unless they got a conscientious teacher, they will not have anything good talk to them about black people. And then we were talking yesterday about the churches. You know, yesterday we were talking about one of the things we talked about, that, you know, because growing up, we also got black history in the church. Because, you know, you learned about Richard Allen, and they don't do that.
That's where we got the real black history. They wanted to teach us about Booker T. Washington and all them other. They didn't tell us the real black history.
No. But I tell you what, but once we knew who Richard Allen was, who started a church there, even before slavery ended, because he was not going to be this treated poorly by going to a white Methodist church. I mean, so look what the history that we grew up on. We grew up with this history, see?
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the other thing.
And the church was our recreation. It was our education. It was our worship. It was everything. It was our Saturday night. Some churches was just doing on Saturday night and Friday
right.
night.
Right. 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 So, you know, one of the things that I always say, and I keep that it is really my mantra forever, that I am always totally I full of optimism. And I ask every time I'm down south and everywhere I go, I say, Lord, send a revival. Send that wind that will wake us up again. Send that wind. Now, you went to see the new movie. I mean, I haven't gone to see it, but you went to see it. So in a minute, let's take a break, Francis. Come back and talk about the movie that you went to see the other day and let's finish up with that. We're going to take a break. You listen to the Mother's Justice Show on 1150 AM KKNW. I'm your host, Rem Walden. We'll be right back.
The Mother's Justice Show is brought to you by H.G. Walden and the Virtues Healing Circles. Join us for wisdom and wellness with Reverend Walden, a monthly virtual and in-person healing circle that focuses on community healing and growth. Learn more at virtueshealing.com. That's virtueshealing.com. Also, be sure to join our healing group on Facebook. Again, visit us at virtueshealing.com today.
Good afternoon. You're listening to the Mother's Justice Show on 1150 AM KKNW. I'm your host, Reverend Walden. It's my joy to be on the air. Talking to Frances Oliver down in Sanford, Florida. She's a phenomenal woman, and she always wakes up every morning with freedom on her mind. So, Frances, I did come back on and just talk about, you know, I'm a born liberator. So I'm going to always work to liberate my people. I really am. I mean, it's just something about it. Something about growing up in segregation. It's something about seeing the people. It's something about Mary McLeod Methuen. I mean, and all this thing. But you are a phenomenal woman. And I just want people to know that. I mean, and all the work that you've done down there. So, hey, Francis, let's come back on and talk a little bit about Seminole. And then, I mean, about Goldsboro. And then about the movie that you went to see.
All right. We just had an election in Goldsboro. And the turnout was sad. The voter turnout was about 3%. That's sad, Harriet.
That's sad. But I want to talk about your work, Frances. I mean, because you've done what you could to empower people. But you got the Goldsboro, you got the museum there. You are restoring our history. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. And those are the things that
right now at the museum, we just finished Emancipation Proclamation. And okay. We had a big event with that. And we haven't scheduled too much because we're in the process of moving and packing up everything, because that's the building we're in, they're going to tear it down and build a new one.
Oh, okay, because I know you all got a grant, right?
Yeah, uh-huh. And yeah. See, well, we're right now those buildings. They're temporary buildings, but there's a name for them.
Okay, but you got a
long time ago, but they don't.
Oh,
call them
okay, yeah,
no
yeah, yeah. Modular. You in a modular
manufacturer?
Right. Mm-hmm. So now, but you're going to get a building. So that's wonderful. That's wonderful, yeah. And that's what the work you've done there, Frances. Uh-huh. I mean, and that has to be acknowledged because your work is actually one to restore history. I mean, and to be a keeper of history, because we know that history will tell our story. And some of these people eventually will wake up, and then they're going to pick up a book, and they're going to pick up a book, and they're going to learn something about Goldsboro that they didn't know all day they were living there. Same way here in Seattle, people are learning things about this property. William Gross, with the man who actually bought this property from another man, 12 acres for Black people. And now that it's most almost gone, then people wake up. So we the children sometimes wake up too late. It's never too late for God, but it seems like it's too late. But I'm really happy. I read about the grant, and I'm so happy about it. This is going to be a nice look for Goldsboro.
Yes, and we're going to keep the inside pretty much the way it is now, because we just don't want to just put pictures on the wall and stuff on the wall and they don't get talked. We got stuff where you can actually touch. You can actually touch our shackers that was on slaves' legs and feet, stuff that you can actually pick up and touch. That's what our museum is all about.
Right, yeah, okay. Well, that's really nice. I've been in there, and I look forward to coming again. I know I got some relatives in there, and some of the Walden history is part of that. So I look forward to seeing that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the Waldens are in there. So yeah. So Frances, before you and I let you go, I want you to talk about the movie. Yeah, I want to tell us about it. I didn't see it yet, but I mean, you got to give me some happiness. Tell me about it.
Viola Davis.
Yes.
I think that's the best I have ever seen her.
Mm-hmm.
The movie was not to me. It should have been a sad movie, but it was a victorious movie to me, not a sad movie.
Right.
Sure. Some of her women in her army got killed, but they said that they would rather slit their throats than to be a slave. And see, that's
right.
What it was all about. They were fighting against the slave traders. And we had our old people. They had to fight the same now. They had to fight the slave traders, and they had to fight the Africans who were selling the other Africans to the slave traders.
Right, right. Well, sometimes that story don't get out. Because a lot of the places where Islam was conquered at, a lot of that slave trade was going on actually for 1,000 years before the Europeans got there. So I'm glad about that. I'm glad. But you said it was action packed, eh?
Yeah, it was action packed. It certainly was action. Oh Lord, I don't know what I do here. What I do here? Oh my God! I guess I stopped. Okay.
Yeah. All right then, Frances. It sounds like you need to go, so I'll let you go then. And I appreciate you coming on here. I know it's raining down there in Florida, in Sanford, Florida. So thank you so much, Frances, for being my guest on the Mother's Justice Show.
I'm in this heavy traffic kind of drive now.
Yeah. So that's okay.
But I wanted to do your show because I wanted to talk about our governor. I wanted to talk about the movie. I wanted to talk about things that are happening and not happening in Florida. So I'm glad that you contacted me to be on the show. And I wasn't going to cancel it for nothing in the world, although I did forget that my granddaughter had a garden.
It's all good to know, because we're just regular people. You're not regular. Sometimes it's good for regular people just to have a platform. So we're just regular people just doing God's work. So appreciate
that's
you,
right.
Frances. Take care of your granddaughter, and we'll be in touch again. And take care. Thank you for coming on.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. You listen to the Mother's Justice Show on 1150 AM KKNW. I'm your host, Reverend Walden. We'll be right back.
The Mother's Justice Show is brought to you by H.G. Walden and the Virtues Healing Circles. Join us for wisdom and wellness with Reverend Walden, a monthly virtual and in-person Healing Circle that focuses on community healing and growth. Learn more at virtueshealing.com. That's virtueshealing.com. Also, be sure to join our healing group on Facebook. Again, visit us at virtueshealing.com today.
No matter who we are or where we come from, we all experience difficulties in life.
Military veterans know that sometimes it takes strength and determination to make it through.
Whether it's obvious physical challenges or struggles on the inside, it takes strength to ask for help when you need it.
I knew that I had to get support, not just for me, but for the sake of my wife and kids.
Talking about it has helped me feel more like myself again.
Honestly, it was hard to open up at first, but it's changed my life for the better.
Learn how veterans like us have reached out for help and hear stories of strength and recovery at MakeTheConnection.net.
Find out the latest about your favorite shows on Alternative Talk 1150. Check out 1150KKNW.com.
Good afternoon. You're listening to the Mother's Justice Show on 1150 AM KKNW. I'm your host, Rem Walden. It's my joy to be on the air. Got a few announcements before we close today. I want to thank my guest today, Eddie Rye. Mr. Rye, he always brings it. And Frances, down in Central Florida, she's a phenomenal woman. Been doing this work ever since she was 18 years old. Work of liberation. Work of liberation is hard. A lot of young people don't understand that. You're in it for the long haul. You know, it's not a short thing to do. It's a lifetime work. And you've got a lot of ebbs and flows. But Frances and Mr. Y keeps at it. And we're raising up another generation, hopefully, to be able to take on this work. And I just want to mention that next Wednesday, Mothers for Police Accountability, we're hosting a community meeting for mothers. It's going to be at the Liberty Bank Apartment Community Apartments Community Room, 1405 24th Avenue here in Seattle, 98122. And this 24th and Union is where it's at. Right around the corner from the Communion, wonderful restaurant. Yeah, we haven't had a community meeting in a while. So I hope you come out and join us. This is our 32nd year. I mean, it's been a long time. I had no idea that we'd still be doing this work. But we are, and then we want you to save for our 32nd annual Mother's Breakfast. I'm 32 years now. We haven't had a breakfast for 32 years, but we've had a variety of programs. But this is our 32nd year. The date is November 10th. And we'll let you know where that location is going to be. Also, Reverend Walden is, I have a new venture. I'm leading the Virtues Healing Circles. And I have more information about that. I mean, most people who know me know that my spiritual work is really important for me. To me, and my spirituality is always on Front Street, no matter where I'm doing, no matter what I'm doing and where I'm at. I mean, I always lead with what's spiritual and what's correct for me. I mean, even if I'm upset, I'm going to be appropriate. So that's how my life is. So I'm grateful. And I had a busy week last week. Guess what? I had two babies last week. It's like, oh my God, Chikunda and Tuni, their birthdays are 2 years and 2 days apart. Chikunda was 52, so his birthday, I didn't have a party 2 years ago, and Tunde was 50. So I had a big party at the Esquire Club on Friday night, and of course, I always go. I don't stay long. I just go to make an appearance. I make a mom appearance, and I didn't stay long, but it was a lot of people there. I mean, a lot of people came out to wish these brothers a happy birthday. They're on a cruise right now. They are on the boat going up to Alaska. So they had a great time. And I just, you know, one thing about having two kids 2 years and 2 days apart, just a lot of birthdays right there. So, you know, that's like, you know, always. And as an only child, most people know that I love birthdays because everything was always for me. And the only day of the year is your birthday. Only day is yours is your birthday. You know, every day belongs to somebody else until you get to be my age. Then you hijack any day of the month you want to. But there's some protocol. And so I had a great week with them last week. And so wishing them a great trip. And I want to always thank my studio manager, Eric. He does such a good job with the music. And I just tell you, I've enjoyed my show today. I enjoy being on the air, and I want to thank all my supporters for supporting us. And don't forget about Mother's meeting next Wednesday. I'll announce it again next Monday. You've been listening to the Mother's Justice Show on 1150 AM KKNW. I'm your host, Reverend Walden. It's my joy to be on the air. I'll see you next week. Talk to you next week. Thank you. Take care.